Hello, my name is Giles Brandreth, and I'm here in a studio near Old Street in London with my friend, the distinguished lexicographer, doyen of Dictionary Corner on Countdown, one of Britain's most wonderful entertainers. Whenever I see her stage show, I think, oh, I hope there's going to be another tour. And there is. It's... it's Susie Dent is what I'm trying to lead up to. Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, it's Susie Dent. Hello,
Thank
Susie.
Thank you. Hello. I was just, a bit bemused and bumfuzzled by that introduction. Thank you. Do you know the lovely warm-up man, Dudley Doolittle from Countdown, used to call me the Dunyan of Dictionary Corner. I think he was trying to say Doyen, but I quite liked Dunyan.
I like Dunyan very much. Are you still on your tour, though?
Actually just finished. Last week I finished, and I will do some more later in the year, but the current run is finished, just for a bit.
Will you be able to come and see my tour?
I would love to.
I think April the 19th in Torquay.
You've got loads of dates.
Oh, I've got more than 30. I begin in Babbacombe, which is near Torquay. It's beautiful.
That's a beautiful place.
It's a lovely part of the world. I know a bit about it because Oscar Wilde famously went on holiday there. Mm-hmm. And I end up at the Buxton Opera House several months later.
Buxton's lovely too.
And it's a brilliant theatre too. I used to go there with Hinge and Brackett. Do you remember Hinge and Brackett?
Yeah.
Dame Hilda Brackett, Doctor of Adney Hinge. And I wrote the scripts for their series, Dear Ladies. And we did shows at the Buxton Opera House. Anyway, so I shall be on tour. And if people want to find out where they can come and see the show, it's called Break a Leg. It's about the theatre. It's a funny story. It's a couple of hours. People seem to like it. There's some singing. And what I like to think of is dancing, but it's not really. Anyway, I move about a bit. You can go to my website, which is simply my name, www.gilesbrandreth.net, and then /2020 tour. We are going to talk today about something we haven't talked about, I don't think, ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Cops and robbers.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a child, did you play cops and robbers?
No.
Did you play doctors and nurses?
Yes.
I look forward. That will be another week we can talk about that. I played cops and robbers. But because I was always such a goody-goody, oh, I realise that now.
You were always the cop.
I was always the cop. And
self-elected, or did people just say, Giles?
No, I just assumed I would be the cop. And I did have a helmet. And I had a little rubber truncheon, and a notebook, as I seem to remember, with a pencil. And I would go around arresting my friends. So, but there is a whole world. When I say cops, people know I'm talking about policemen. How come?
Mm. That goes back to a Latin word, capere, which gave us capture as well. So it was all about seizing someone and, placing the hand of the law on their arms, I guess, or on their shoulders.
So it's nothing to do with a copper. It's nothing to do with a pencil. I mean, a penny.
No, nothing to do with a penny.
Because copper is also a nickname for an old penny, isn't it?
Yes, that's from Kupfer, the German for the metal.
Ah, yes. As in being made of partly of copper?
Yeah.
So the old penny coin was called a copper, but that's nothing to do with the copper, the policeman.
No.
And so how long have coppers been coppers?
For a very long time, I think. I think it was the American who cut copper to cop, and that was much more recent, but I think it had been called coppers for quite a few centuries.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I mean, formal police only began relatively recently. As I recall, it was the family of the great writer Henry Fielding. He and his brother pioneered the police in London that eventually became the Metropolitan Police.
Yes, and that was created by Robert Peel, wasn't it? Hence Peelers.
And he was the Home Secretary at the time.
He was the Home Secretary, yes.
Sir Robert
19th
Peel.
Century we're talking, aren't we?
And that's why. So Sir Robert Peel gave us Peelers, which is not a nickname that's lasted, and Bobby, but Bobby has lasted.
Yes.
And they were Bobbies, as in more recently one had Boris Bikes in London, named after a person. We had Bobbies named after Bobby Powell, Robert Peel, forgive me,
yes.
Bobby Peel, who founded the police force.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm not sure. I think younger people nowadays, I'm not sure they'd use Bobby. They might use, or they probably use cops. They might use the fuzz because they make a fuss. I think that was where that one comes
from.
But likewise, they're called busies in some places. In Liverpool, for example, they're called busies as well.
And as in busybody.
Yeah, I think that's because they get busy. Yes, and they're busybodies, exactly. And then on the American streets, of course, you've got the feds, you've got the 5-0s, you've got the popos.
What?
Popo, short for police, I guess. So a whole range of slang that does come over here as well. So, you know, there's a whole slang lexicon to do with the police force.
And do they have language themselves? I mean, do they once you become a police officer,
yeah,
do you start talking a different sort of language to the rest of us?
You absolutely do. So like all of us, we each have a tribal language, and we're each part of many, many different tribes. So our hobbies, our professions, our friends, etc., we will all have our own lexicons that mark us out as a group. And really importantly, with the police particularly, and as we'll come to a bit later, the criminals, it's designed to keep outsiders out and insiders in, and it's a badge of identity and it's unifying. So when it comes to the emergency services, it's often really dark, as you would expect, dark humour, because it's a coping mechanism. But, you know, sometimes it's incredibly important shorthand that cannot be understood or must not be understood by outsiders, because it is all about secrecy and you know, and nabbing the bad guys.
And you have delved into this world. You've actually met police officers and discovered the way they speak. Can you give me some examples of the words they use that we don't?
Yes. Well, even the different groups or the different departments within the police force will each have sort of monikers for themselves. So the Diplomatic Protection Group, DPG, are otherwise known as Doors, Pillars and Gates, because they're normally seen as standing next to one of them.
Hold on, the Diplomatic Protection Group, they're the people who stand outside embassies.
Embassies, possibly. I'm not sure if they're the ones on Downing Street, but
sounds like they ought to be.
Yeah, they probably are.
And Royal Protection as well, that sort of thing.
Yeah. TPG, Doors, Pillars and Gates.
Like it.
The traffic police, they actually inspire vehemence, not just in the public, but also in every other police force. And they're known as the Black Rats, partly because they have a black rat sticker on the back of the car that indicates a traffic cop.
But also, where is this on the back of that car?
Well, I have looked for one, but this I've heard this many, many times. I don't think it's obligatory, but I think if you do see one on there...
A black rat sticker on a police car?
Yes. And according to the other members of the police force, it's allegedly because these are the only animals that will eat their own young. So they're just not popular, the traffic cops, with anyone, let's face it.
Including their own colleagues?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Particularly paramedics. Paramedics did not have very much love for the black rats at all.
And you're giving us this as first-hand evidence. I mean, you actually went and researched this in person.
Yes, and I had a wonderful correspondent, and he gave me a lot of insider info, both to do with the wonderful jargon of the paramedics and the emergency services, but also the police. So that was really interesting.
A canine
is a police dog handler, obviously. The TSG, the Tactical Support Group, big and muscly, they're nicknamed the Knuckle Draggers.
I was about to interrupt you, and then I remembered my New Year resolution of not interrupting you.
You can throw in your own gems.
My words died on my lips. I was going to tell you how, as you know, we got a Tesla car.
Yes.
And something went wrong with it. I sat in the car, and I thought, I know there's a button here that I can press, that they'll come and rescue me in my Tesla. Anyway, I saw this thing above my head that said emergency. I thought, I'm in an emergency. I don't think I can drive this Tesla. I better press. So I pressed this thing. And a moment later, the screen lit up and there was a voice saying, police, ambulance, fire.
Seriously.
I said, I'm so sorry. It's the car's making a funny noise. And the thing repeated, police, ambulance, fire. Is this an emergency? I said, no, it's not real. It's an emergency for me, but not for you. I do apologize. And he unplugged me. But the lights are still flashing. I didn't dare press the button again because I didn't want to call him back.
No.
I was lucky not to get nicked for wasting emergency services time.
Yeah.
Nicked. Where's that come from?
Yeah, and in the nick. I wish I knew. It's actually very elusive. So the OED will say that the use of the noun nick in the sense of a prison goes back to Australian slang, where it began meaning a jail. But the verb nick you will find in early glossaries of criminal slang, and we must talk about those later because they're fascinating. So in the 16th century, someone talks about, I never nicked the poorest of his pay. So it meant to swindle or to cheat. So there's always been that kind of criminal link. Maybe it's related to Old Nick. It was a nickname for the devil. Who knows if there's a link there. Other people say it goes back to Niccolo, the first name of Machiavelli. Maybe it's a shortening of iniquity. There are so many theories out there, but the answer is we don't know. But it has a clear history within the criminal underworld.
Yeah, it's used, but nobody knows quite why.
No. Shall I give you some of their other phrases? You mentioned the truncheon, that's called their stick. Their helmet, they talk about as their bonnet, which is quite sweet. And their PR is the personal radio, and they used to call that the bat phone, which I quite like.
Do the different ranks have different nicknames? I mean, is there... You know, plod. Well, where does that come from? Plod, as in PC plod.
Because plod. They plod the streets. That's simple as that.
Because I think Enid Blyton had a character called PC Plod, who was the name of the policeman. It's not very flattering, is it? PC plodding along.
No, what was the policeman in Noddy? Do you remember Noddy?
Oh, mate, but that's the policeman.
Is that what you said?
I think, yeah.
Oh, Enid, PC Plod.
Enid Blyton created Noddy.
He did.
Noddy and...
She did, I mean, sorry.
you never know. That could be a revelation. Enid Blyton turns out to have been a man. Well, there you go.
Oh, dear. Yes, they do have... they talk about the police stations, the factory sometimes. That's the local nick. Whereas the New Scotland Yard, they refer to as the Kremlin. But they do have nicknames for various ranks. So Gov is an officer of at least inspector rank. They will always talk about the Gov. And Onion is a sergeant.
Onion?
Because Onion Bargee, Sargy.
Oh, that's great. Onion Bargee, rhyming slang for Sargy. I love it.
Yeah. The laziest officer sits in the bingo seat, which stands for bollocks, I'm not getting out seat.
Oh, I love it.
Bongo is an ineffectual police officer who always clocks on but rarely leaves their desk. And that stands for books on, never goes out. They have the Muppet, most useless police person ever trained. That's generally used affectionately. A wooden top is one who spends their time dealing with domestic incidents.
Why is that? Because the wooden top's sort of family? Daddy wooden top, mummy wooden top. Yes, probably is.
Yeah.
The wooden top. Oh, I'm going round to the wooden tops.
The wooden tops. I don't think I ever saw the wooden tops. Was it an animation?
Yeah, it was stop frame puppetry. It was, I don't know when it was, 60s, I suppose? Mm-hmm. Maybe even 50s. No, 60s. What about their clothes, their uniform? I had war suit as being one of the...
Oh, that's quite nice. Yeah, that's quite nice. War suit. Apart from the stick, as I mentioned, and their PR, I'm not sure about the uniform itself and the bonnet. They have various terms for the criminals. So a lag is a repeat offender. And they peddle ice cream. Ice cream, often slang for drugs. And so on. I mean, they just have so many different things. And if we talked about Mr. Sands... Before we have, because you've heard this, haven't you?
I regularly hear it because I travel a lot on the London Underground.
Yes.
Explain to people about this, people who don't live in London, because we have listeners all over the world.
We do. Well, in the capital here, Mr. or Inspector Sands is a standard code for fire.
Is it fire?
It's usually fire, but it can also mean an emergency. So it's used to alert staff or police without panicking the customers. So you might hear something like, "Will Inspector Sands please report to the men's toilets?"
I've never heard that. I think the location of the fire.
I know that sounds a bit dodgy.
Oh, I see. It's where the location is. I see. So I've heard platform so and so or the such and such an office. So it's indicating
the location and a bomb. I'm not sure if this is still the case. This may have been superseded, but when I was talking to the police officers a few years ago, the code for a bomb in the Underground, the London Tube, was Mr. Gravel. What's the one in the theatre? Because there's another one, isn't
there? Is there one in the theatre?
I think there is, yeah.
I went on a very exciting journey with some police officers a few years ago for the One Show. Mm. They took me on a... show me how their fast cars work, and it was called Doing the Blues and Twos.
Oh, yes.
You know about that?
The blues and twos is, well, is that just blue lighting?
It's blue lighting and twos is flashing lighting too, so it's two different lights.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. They drove at such speed and the officer who was driving was looking so far down the road. I mean, he was almost looking around the next corner.
That's advanced driving, isn't it?
I was deeply impressed by the driving.
And you know the really annoying civilians who then tailgate a flashing blue light, whether it's an ambulance or a police, in order to get to their destination quickly, and they just basically tag on. Those are called blue wave riders, so they ride the blue wave and are deeply annoying to anyone in the emergency service because they make their lives so much more difficult if they've got a car literally on their tail, taking advantage of the free road.
We must turn in a moment. We've given all this time to the cops. We must turn to the robbers, turn on the suspects. If you, though, have any queries about any of this or want to get in touch with us, particularly, for example, if you know what the code that they use in a theatre or a cinema is, so that we can all be apprehensive at the same moment, do get in touch. You can tweet us or email us at purple@somethingelse.com. This time, something is spelled SOMTHIN without a G, somethingelse.com, purple@somethingelse.com.
Yes. And I suspect that in other countries they'll have their own versions as well, which would be fascinating to hear. Should we take a break?
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald, of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you will instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. Two episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
We're back. And Susie Dent today is coping with a cough and a cold and is therefore sucking a cough sweet. She's doing this despite the fact that she knows the one thing that annoys me most in the world is people phoning up while sucking things, things or eating things.
I haven't got a cold. It's just I went straight to a cough and I'm absolutely fine. But I apologise. I'll try not to suck audibly.
We talked about cops. Let's talk about robbers. Do they have a world of a language of their own?
Well, the sort of criminal underworld vocabulary is fascinating to me because the language of crime was the first category of crime to ever be collected. So in 1535, a printer called Robert Copeland, or Copland, was no E in there.
Would be amusing if it was Copland.
It would be great, wouldn't
given
it?
Given that cops...
and robbers.
Yeah, anyway, go on.
He wrote something called Highway to the Spittlehouse. Now, Spittlehouse, it was written with a Y. It was essentially just a lodging house where people gave hospitality. He collected a whole load of what was known as cant, and that comes from the Latin cantare, meaning to sing. And it was a kind of reflection of the sing-song tones of a lot of the criminals who used it. Because that's the thing about tribal language, as well as being a secret code, you know, to enable you to, as I say, evade the authorities, etc. It's also banter, much like Cockney rhyming slang also had kind of criminal beginnings. But it was fun. It was banter. The rhymes were sort of cheery and, you know, again, marked out the group, but gave them a bit of wordplay and fun at the same time. And so it was with criminal slang. And it's absolutely fascinating. And some of the crimes in those days, we're talking 16th century here, they sound quite funny, although they were taken very seriously in their day. There was the counterfeit crank. There was the curtal, and that's a man who was basically a pickpocket, so named after a curtal or a short cloak. Bawdy basket. And the bawdy basket was a female thief who posed as a seller of pins and needles in her basket. They carried out all sorts of crimes that were known as lays. The gooseberry lay, and that was the stealing of linen drying in the open air by tramps and thieves. And that the linen was known as gooseberries, and I can't find out why. The whalebone lay, which was using a piece of whalebone daubed with glue to rob a shop till. So I guess they just kind of, you know, stuck it in. The smug lay, which was the selling of worthless goods on the pretext that they were smuggled contraband. The Peter lay, which was stealing baggage and boxes because Peter was a trunk or a safe. There was also the hoist lay, but which was the robbing of a man by holding him upside down and shaking the money out of his pockets.
I can see that.
Can you?
Well, I mean, I feel I've seen it in a kind of Keystone Cops movie from the beginning of the 20th century.
And then they feared the highwayman, who was had lots and lots of different nicknames. So there was the Newmarket Heath Commissioner, because the Heath was so popular for hold-ups. They had the tax collector, one of St. Nicholas's clergymen. That was definitely a play on Old Nick for the devil. And a high lawyer, and that was a pun on the high law, which was somebody who robbed on the road, or quite simply a scamp.
What period is this language from?
So this is all from about the 1600s to about the 1800s.
And it's died away.
I'm not sure if the crimes have, but certainly the nicknames have died away now.
And today, The language that, as it were, the criminal fraternity would be using today, do they still have banter? Is there still criminal cant? And what are the words in it?
There absolutely is. Now, you might know more of this than me, because I know you've been to prisons. And one of the things I would really love to do is talk to, you know, a few prisoners about the slang they use. Because a few years ago, there was an article published which suggested that criminals were learning tons of Elizabethan criminal slang in order to evade the authorities. So they thought, well, you know, they understand all our current stuff, all our current jargon. So we're going to go back centuries, even back to Shakespeare's day. They were going to learn some of the things that criminals used then, and that would become their new code, which I thought was fascinating. But I've never, ever been able to find out whether that's true. But you have.
Well, off and on, I've spent a bit of time in prison. When I was a teenager, I didn't quite know why, it became my hobby. Literally, when I was at school, when I was sort of 17, 18, 19, 20, I began visiting prisons. Mm. And the first book that I published about 50 years ago now was called Created in Captivity. And it was about the writing and the artwork of people in prison. And I visited prisons around the world, particularly in North America and in Scandinavia and in Russia when it was part of the Soviet Union. But in this country, I do remember I kept a note of some of the slang that I heard. And of course, this is some years ago. And I remember that cigarette paper was known as a Vera. You got any Veras? Vera, do you get it? Why? Could we call it a cigarette paper? It's rhyming slang again. Vera Lynn, skin.
Oh.
So it's skin light. Okay. Vanilla, who's a vanilla?
Don't know.
It's a judge, rhyming slang, vanilla fudge. And I like this one, kanga, rhyming slang, kangaroo or screw. They called prison officers screws. I don't know why they called them screws, do you?
I think it was because the keys were called screws, and so it became the bearer of the screw from there on in.
Do you
remember all those kind of Ealing comedies and the sort of the heists that they used to get up to? There was a kind of semi-affectionate kind of slang that grew out of that as well. So heist is a riff on hoist. It's always got a bit of kind of bravado and derry-do, hasn't it, that word heist? And it's usually a jewellery robbery or something over here.
Oh, you know what custard is?
Custard?
Yep.
Custard pie?
No.
Thai?
No. Custard and jelly? It's the telly.
Oh, okay.
What's on the custard?
I'm hoping that some of them watch Countdown in there too.
They
do. Nice. I used to get letters, actually, when people wrote letters. I used to get letters from prisoners.
I know they watch Countdown because a few years ago I went to visit, before it closed, Reading Jail. Because,
oh, yeah.
As you know,
that's
I'm interested
very famous,
in
yes.
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, yeah.
And I went to, and the governor took me round kindly, and I said, could I see the cell where Oscar Wilde was incarcerated here? He was there for nearly 2 years, from 1895. And they took me up to this cell, and we went into the cell, and there was the prisoner, who had no idea who Oscar Wilde was, but recognised me from Countdown.
Oh, amazing.
And he was actually watching Countdown when we turned up.
Fantastic.
So that was, it was a rather nice poor man. I say poor man, I don't know what he'd done. Diesel, I love this. It's slang for prison tea, named because of rainbow scum on top of the liquid. I'll give you two more, and then I want to see if we can deal with some correspondence before we have to go. Do you know what nostrils are in criminal slang, criminal cant?
No.
Nostrils. Nostrils. A sawn-off shotgun known as the nostrils.
Oh,
can you picture it?
Yes.
You just see it. No,
because your nostrils were your nose cells, remember, and your thirl or trill or trill even was a hole, which is why when you thrill someone, you pierce them with excitement and basically make a hole in their body with excitement.
I used to thrill with excitement to the Sweeney. Do you remember that TV series?
Oh, Sweeney Todd.
That's why it's called Sweeney Todd. But why is it called Sweeney Todd?
Sweeney Todd Plod?
No, Sweeney Todd, Flying Squad.
That's it.
There we are.
That's it.
Flying Squad, so named because it could act in all the boroughs, unlike other police forces.
Mm.
Not because they could fly.
Okay.
Now,
should we do some...
Tell me, has anybody written to us this week?
Yes. Well, I have one from a rather disgruntled Ken Cox. He says, can you help strike a blow for the English language? I have 6 grandchildren, and when we pass a McDonald's restaurant, I feel obliged to point out that the drive through, THRU sign, is in fact incorrect and should be spelled through, normal spelling. Help is driving me mad. The only thing I can say, which I always do, is if you look in a historical dictionary, you will find various spellings throughout history. And granted, that THRU is a kind of American shorthand and a lot of people hate it. It's the same with high, H-I, isn't it? High vis, that kind of thing. But in Old Frisian, which is where this comes from.
What the cows speak?
No.
What is
this? This is looking at Old Frisian, which is an old Germanic dialect. You will find it spelt THRUCH. So it was more through in the McDonald's spelling than than through as we spell it today. And there have been over 500 different spellings of the word throughout the history of English. So, you know, we will be creating these, I'm sure, for the next millennium.
So McDonald's have on their side the benefit of history.
Possibly. I'm not sure that they did it with that in mind.
And through comes from Frisian. We have Frisian cows. And when you go to McDonald's, I know they like to sell quality beef. It could well be that you're eating a Frisian. So maybe it's a tribute to the language and the animal.
Okay. Somehow I don't think that happened.
Time for one more.
Okay, so Susan Malthouse, great name. She's from crazy Australia, and she said, "We've had ravaging bushfires and golf ball-sized hail all in 1 week. But in my own little world, I'm waiting patiently for the arrival of my first bub in the coming weeks." So I'm guessing bub is her baby. Not sure it's her grandchildren, but I think it's her. "And a friend told me today they were anticipating the arrival news with bated breath. Spelt B-A-I-T-E-D. And Susan is wondering, and many congratulations if Bubs has arrived, Susan, but she's wondering, why baited? Well, you know, what's it got to do with the bait and fishing, etc.? And the answer is absolutely nothing, because it's B-A-T-E-D, not B-A-I-T-E-D, although almost a third of the records that I looked up in the Oxford English Corpus, which is the database of current language, accounts for that incorrect spelling. So, you know, it's on the up.
What does baited without the I mean?
Okay, so it's short for abated. In other words, reduced or lessened. So the idea of anticipation so great that you almost stop breathing.
We had trouble, you know, with mice once at home. So I fed our cat Camembert. So he could literally sit by the mouse hole with bated breath. It's time for Susie's trio. What have you got for us this week?
Well, any electorate that's unhappy with their present government can be spoken of as a lot of Grumbletonians. A Grumbletonian is essentially somebody who is very unhappy with their leadership. And it goes back to the 17th century when members of the Country Party, which rejected all ideas of the government, became known as the Grumbletonians. That was the name that they gave themselves, which I love because it just does what it says on the tin. And I think it could be, you know, any bellyache or moaner or somebody rightly dissatisfied with their government could call themselves a Grumbletonian.
Very nice. I like Grumbletonian.
I like that one too. Is it time for a drink? Probably not yet. Not quite yet, quaff-tied. But if you are heading off for a beer later, you can say that you're off for a cuddle me buff.
A cuddle me buff?
Yes. So literally cuddle, then me, then buff, which is
all
really,
one word or the hyphens?
All one word. Well, I think it did sometimes have hyphens, actually. But that's a very old term for beer. I have no idea what the buff was there. I mean, buff can mean so many different things, including being naked. So there you go. If you're naked as well and you're having a beer, you've definitely got the cuddle me buff going on.
That's nice.
And haplology. Not many people will have heard of this word, but we will all know what it describes. So that's spelled H-A-P-L-O-L-O-G-Y, haplology. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's what happens when we kind of eat part of a word when saying it. So, for example, secretary instead of secretary, probably for probably.
February.
Library for library. February is the classic example. Yeah, February. And it's because they're so difficult to pronounce, because more often than not, we've inherited them from a foreign tongue, even if that tongue might be a classical one like Latin or Greek. So that is haplology. And we're all guilty of it, I think.
I love haplology.
Yeah.
Oh, those are three good words. Well, before we go off for our touch of cuddle me buff, I like that. Let me give you my quotation for the week. This is a little new feature. I've dipped into the Bronte sisters. A line from Charlotte Bronte, a wise line. "A ruffled mind makes a restless pillow."
Oh, that's so true.
If you've enjoyed the show, please give us a nice review. Recommend us to a friend. If you've got a question you'd like us to answer or just want to get in touch, email us. It's purple@somethingelse.com.
Something Rhymes with Purple is a Something Else production. It was produced by Lawrence Bassett with additional production from Steve Ackerman and Gully.
And if you don't like it, don't be such a Grumbletonian.